I'm deeply grateful to Mr. Phil Rosen for having invited me to come to speak to all of you. It is so special, this organization of ACT, Achieving Change Through Torah. It's such an original idea that people should get together and to be able to focus on Torah learning so that it should have an integral effect on their lives. You know, when I see this crowd, and I know that this crowd is really put together from many different shuls, I'm reminded of the Zohar HaKodesh. The Zohar HaKodesh has a very interesting pshat and a pasuk that all of us know, and there's a famous song that we all sing. Hinei matoiv umanoim sheves achim gam yochad. How wonderful and how beautiful it is when brothers and sisters get together. But the Zohar adds something to this pasuk, and he says, the word yochad, yochad, yachad means the individual. That's referring to Hashem Himself. He says, Hinei matoiv umanoim. How wonderful, how beautiful it is when there is sheves achim, when people get together from many different places and everybody is together, then gam yochad, then even Hashem is there with a special intensity of being. The Shechina comes when brothers and sisters come together. So I know there are people here from Or Torah, Ohev Emes, Avas Achim, Eitz Achayim, and of course the young Israel of East Brunswick. I see so many wonderful friends, Dr. Ukrainik, and all, many, many friends and relatives, and it's just very special to, oh my goodness, Avram's mother. And it's just wonderful to be here, and if you don't have enough of me, I'm going to be here Tuesday morning for a bris, so we can have bagels and lox. I want to tell you a story that at first you may think has nothing to do with our topic, but as you will see, it will lead in to an aspect of chesed, and it will begin bringing us into the whole mode of avas chesed. As my dear friend Rabbi Wasser mentioned, by the way, I totally forgot about that bris. I shouldn't have forgotten about it because it happened just recently. But actually, my son and myself, we did the bris together because this was already a new generation. I have a son who's a Moel and Pesach, and he was learning in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So it was very, very special, that bris. And I'll always be grateful to you and to your family for that. But all the books that I've published, and the new one that's going to come out, Mitzvah Shem, in a week and a half, are published by Art Scroll. So I'm very, very close to Rav Meir Zlotowitz. He was the one who had that brainchild of starting writing Svarim with Art Scroll. He was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was very close to Rav Moshe, and many, many times he would go and ask his advice on many topics. So Rav Meir Zlotowitz told me that one time he came to Rav Moshe's house on FDR Drive in the Lower East Side, and he's waiting in the living room because Rav Moshe was finishing off a Din Torah between two people. And as the Din Torah is finished, Rav Moshe says to one of the people, tell the other fellow that you moichel him, that you forgive him. So the fellow said, Rebbe, everything is okay. I'm not angry at him anymore. You worked it out perfect. I'm happy. I'm not upset. Rav Moshe said, no, tell him specifically that you moichel him. He said, Rosh Hashiva, I just said, I'm not angry. There's nothing. You know, you don't have to be moichel. We're friends again. Rav Moshe insisted, tell him beferish, say that you are moichel. Now the fellow realized that Rav Moshe was serious. He needed to hear those words, that I forgive you. So the man said, I forgive you, and that was that. Both of them left, and when Rabbi Zlotowitz came in, he said, Rosh Hashiva, I hope you don't mind my asking, but I couldn't help but overhear how insistent you were that the person had to say specifically that he's moichel, that he forgives. Why were you so insistent on that? So Rabbi Moshe took out a Chumash Bereishis and took out Rabbeinu Bechaya and showed him this thing which we should always remember. In Bereishis Nun, Pasuk Tezvav, it tells us, Vayiru Ache Yosef, the brothers of Yosef saw Kimes Aviem, that their father died. Now they were afraid. They figured, now Yosef is going to get even. Kolzman, the whole time while Yaakov was alive, so okay, the brothers figured, Yosef's not going to do anything because after all, the father would be upset. But now that the father had passed away, they were terrified. And they said, Lu yistameinu Yosef. Maybe Yosef is going to hate us. V'hashiv yashiv lanu es kol ara asher gamalnu Yosef. And now he's going to give us back all the bad that we did to him. So they appealed to him. And what does Yosef say? Yosef cries and he says, don't be silly. What am I instead of God? God orchestrated this whole thing. That you should come down here and I should be able to save you with the food. Everything is fine. Please, don't have to worry. I'm not going to get even with you. Everything is wonderful. Zok Rabbeinu Bachaya. A very frightening thing. It looks like from Yosef's words, Shahoya Lahem Ritzoi, that he consoled them. He never said he was Michael them. He never said those words, I forgive you. Im Cain, if that's the case, all the kind words that he said, all the words that he said, nah, Hashem orchestrated, it's all fine, don't worry about it. Meisu ba'onsham. They all died with the einish, with the punishment. Beloy mechilas Yosef. They died with their terrible actions, literally not having been forgiven. Oh, Al Cain, that's why Hutzracha Oinish Liois Achazman Hasare Haruge Malchus. Why did those 10 Hasare Haruge Malchus, why those great tzaddikim had to die? Why were they tortured in a terrible death? Because it was those 10 brothers that sold him. Not Binyamin. Of course, Binyamin wasn't alive when Yosef was sold. But those 10 brothers never got Mechila. And because Nebach, they never got Mechila, that's why Hashem still had to make that the Asore Aruge Malchus happened. We cry about it on Tisha B'Av, we cry about it on Yom Kippur, because Mechila was not given. So the first lesson that we have to learn tonight is part of Avas Chesed. Doing a genuine favor to someone is actually forgiving them. And saying Beferish, I am Moichel, I forgive you. And also being willing to accept forgiveness if somebody says it to you. Because if a person doesn't say Beferish, that they are Moichel, then Chas V'Shalom, the essence of the Aveira is still there. But who was one of those 10 people that passed away among the Asari Haruge Malchus? One of those was Rab Chanina ben Tzradyain. And many of you know the famous story, how the Gemara tells us that he was wrapped up in a Sefer Torah, in the parchment of a Sefer Torah, and how they put wool, tufts of wool, between the parchment of the Sefer Torah and his skin. And then when he was being burned, he made that famous saying. They asked him, what do you see? And he said, I see the parchment is burning, but the oisiyos parchos ba'avir, the letters are flying in the air. That same Rab Chanina ben Tzradyain, before he was taken there, you know what he said? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, Omalei Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina says to Rab Elazar, you're lucky, not me. You're lucky because you were arrested on 5 counts. The Romans didn't want that you should teach Torah Barabim. They didn't want you should teach Torah in the public, and they caught you 5 different times. I was only caught once. You were caught 5 times. And you're going to be saved, and I'm not going to be saved. Rab Chanina ben Tzradyain knew. Once the Romans got a hold of him, he knew he was going to suffer. Why? Sha'at asakta b'Torah gemilas chasadim. You didn't only do Torah. I taught Torah, but that's the only thing I did. And that's not good enough to be saved. But you did Torah and Chesed. V'ani, Rab Chanina ben Tzradyain says, Lo yasakti ela b'Torah b'vad. I only had the schus of Torah, and that's not enough. And in that wonderful sefer that Rabbi Wasser was talking about, in Avas Chesed, in Chelik Sheni, Perek Dalet, it tells us something that we all must remember. Kesha oisik b'Torah b'vad. If somebody just learns Torah, And he didn't do chesed the way he was supposed to. We all need Hashem's chesed. We go through life every day. The vicissitudes of life make it that we need Hashem's chesed. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a graphic artist, a negotiator, whatever business you're in, you're raising children, you're married, you need Hashem's chesed. How are you going to get Hashem's chesed? Torah is not enough. Rav Chanina ben Turadya, in one of the Asar Arugim Malchus, is telling us that. The Chofetz Chaim himself is telling us that. If a person has a tzorah, chas v'shalom, and none of us are perfect, so Hashem could point and say, hey, listen, you know, you're not the best person around. What do you expect me to do for you? Oh, but you want to be saved. You're not simply called tzorah b'zeba, but get involved in chesed. So Rav Chanina ben Turadya, who Nebach, because of the brothers of Yosef, Nebach, Hashem used him to make up for that terrible Aveira. But he understood, Rav Chanina ben Turadya, Torah is not enough. It's act, action, achieving change through Torah. The Torah is a conduit. The Torah is a vehicle to teach us chesed and to show us how a person is supposed to behave 24/7. I want to tell you a very, very personal story. What it means, Avas Chesed. When I was 21 years old, my father, Olav Shalom, passed away. I'm the oldest of 7 children. It was very, very difficult. I was in the yeshiva at that time. My father was a moyel. My grandfather had been a moyel, so it was in the family. And we knew what was happening to my father, and I left the yeshiva. I learned with him as quickly as possible. I had been studying with him all the years, but now, in January of 66, I started going with him every single day, and by June 66, he couldn't do brisin anymore. October 66, Shmini Atzeres, he passed away. So here I'm 21 years old, and I ask you, if you had a baby boy, would you trust a 21-year-old kid, you know, to do the bris for your son? So many times, you know, people would call for my father. I was in the house, obviously. I would take the phone. He had already passed away. They asked for Rabbi Krohn. I say, I'm Rabbi Krohn, but they know I can't be the same guy. What happened to your voice, right? So they knew I wasn't the same. And I said, you know, I'm taking over for my father. So some people accepted it, some people didn't. And even those who accepted it, when I walked into the house, you know, take a look at Rabbi Wass's pictures, you'll see. They said, oh, you're so young. So I would say, well, the baby's also young, you know. Okay, so they kind of broke the ice. But don't think one guy didn't send me home. That had to be one of the most humiliating days of my life. When I came to a bris, a guy took one look at me, he said, you're not touching my son. And he sent me home. I mean, that was humiliation beyond. But okay, that happened only once, thank goodness. I mean, a lot of people didn't want to use me. I'm a 21-year-old kid, I don't have to tell you. So, besides that I had to support my mother, and I had to support my 6 younger brothers and sisters, it was very difficult. One day in our shul in Kew Gardens, a man comes over to me, Mr. Chaim Israel. He should have a lichtike Gan Eden. He comes over to me, he says, here, I have something for you. I said, what is this? I open it up, I see it's $1,500. Now, $1,500 today is a lot of money. You can imagine what it was in 1967. This was like in February of 67. I said, Mr. Israel, what is this? I'm not taking stalker. He says, no, this is not stalker. This is a loan. I said, a loan? When do I have to pay it back? He says, I will never ask you for it. Whenever you want, you can pay me back. I will never ask you for it. I said, okay, listen, I can't accept this without asking my mother. I wasn't married. I was living at home. I go home. I say, Ma, Mr. Israel gave us money. What money? What? We need stalker. We're not poor. Ma, he says, it's a loan. So when do we pay it back? Whenever we want. Okay. She took the money. We really did need the money. It was a tremendous chesed on his part, and he initiated it. I wasn't the one to ask him for it, but okay, it was very beautiful for him to do that. 2 years later, I was already 23. No, so I was older already. So I was getting more brisin and, you know, getting more into the field, and we felt that we could pay him back the money. So I take the $1,500, we put together $1,500, and I go to his office on Queens Boulevard, and I come in. And I have an envelope, and I say, Mr. Israel, here's the money. that you gave me 2 years ago. He said, I'm not taking it. I said, what do you mean you're not taking it? You said it's a loan, right? Remember, right? The other was stuck. I wasn't going to take. He said, no. Sit down. I want to tell you a story. He says, do you remember a number of years ago when I was on the verge of bankruptcy? He's talking about himself. Of course, I remember, because he was a very wealthy man. And all of a sudden in Shul, everybody was talking. Mr. Israel was going bankrupt. It was like so shocking. He says, you remember that? I said, of course I remember. He said, there was a man in our neighborhood, Mr. Lewinstein. And he came over to me and he gave me money. And I said to him, what are you giving me money? I'm not poor. He said, no, it's a loan. So I said to him, when do I have to pay you back? He said, I'll never ask you for it. Whenever you want, you'll pay me back. So a couple years later, I had the money and I go to Mr. Lewinstein and I want to give him the money. And he says, I'm not taking it. So I said to him what you said to me. What do you mean you're not taking it? We said this is a loan, right? He says, oh, it's, of course it's a loan. You have to pay me, but not me. You have to pay this loan. When you find somebody else who needs money, you'll give it to them. And when they come back to pay you, that's what you tell them. That they don't pay you back, but they should find somebody else who needs the money and give it to that family. And that's what my mother and I did. We passed it on to a family, and years later when they came to pay us back, we told them to pass it on and pass it on. And who knows where it's gone. Just want to tell you what kind of greatness Mika Amcha Yisrael, Mr. Lewinstein's son, called me 2 or 3 years ago. He says, I know you tell that story about my father who started this chain, this wonderful chain of chesed. He said, I want you to follow the chain and find out where the money is today, because what's $1,500 today? I want to give that family the equivalent of what $1,500 was in 67, you know, the amount that could be a couple thousand today. I said to him, Daniil, you're a tzaddik, that you want to do this, but I'm not going to follow this chain. Because it's got to be embarrassing for everybody along the line that they must have needed money at some time and so was so desperate that somebody would initiate giving them money. So we left it at that. But look how Yidden behave. A person gives money and understands that it's going to pass on and on and on. That's what unity is all about. That's what Avas Yisrael is all about. You know, the Maral teaches us something phenomenal. The Maral teaches us something about a word that we have said not 1,000 times, but 10,000 times. And as many times as we've said it, we never would have dreamed of this pshat and this word, echod. Listen to this. I have this underlined in my siddur, so I should think about it every time I say the word echod. The word echod, aleph ches dalet, we all know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem echod. The Maral says, echod means as well. Aleph is one, the primary, the most important, the most choshev. He says that's referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the Bechir Sheba Ovais. Bechir, he was the chosen one, the choicest of the three patriarchs. Why? Because Avram Avinu unfortunately had a son like Yishmael. Yitzchak, unfortunately, had a son like Esav. But Yaakov, the Gemara says, Mitosoi Shlema. All his children were perfect. So Aleph is that one Yaakov. Ches are the eight children that he had with his two wives. Who were his two wives, Leah and Rachel? Which children did he have? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. That's eight. And Dalid are the four children that he had with the two Shvachis, with Bilhah and Zilpah. That's Don, Naphtali, Gad, v'Asher. So now Echad has a different meaning also. Echad doesn't only mean Hashem. It means all of us. We're all together. Because any one of us here, every man, woman, and child, we come from one of the 12 Shiftei Kah. Some of us could come from Yehuda. Some of us could come from Levi, the Kayanim and the Leviim. Some could come from Yisachar, Binyamin, Shimon, whatever. But we're all one. That's the unity of one. And I'll tell you something very interesting. The Medrash tells us that when Yaakov Avinu in Bereishis Rabbah Tzadik Ches Gimel, when Yaakov was going to call his children to give them the bracha, so he was afraid maybe they're angry at Hashem. So he said, Shema yesh belibcha machloikes ala kodesh baruch hu. Maybe you're angry at Hashem because after all, you guys had a rough life. You went through the hunger, you went through the problems with Yosef and all. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael. This is where the expression comes from. Shema Yisrael, Yisrael, our father, listen. You don't have any arguments on Hashem? We don't have any arguments. El Hashem Alekeinu, Hashem Echad. That's where the expression comes from. Every time you say Shema Yisrael, think of that father with his sons. The sons are saying to the father, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alekeinu, Hashem Echad. Echad, we're all one. Yaakov, 8 children, 4 children, we're all Echad. And you know what the Medrash says? And that's why I think we do something which many of us don't even know why we do it. Why do you say Baruch Shem quietly? So the Gemara Pesachim tells us one reason. I think I have another reason. You know why? Because it says when those sons said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It says, Afu Piresh Besfosov. He said with his lips, Baruch Shem Kavod, Machos Eli Olavad. Why didn't he just answer, Baruch Shem? Teretz is, how do we know you're supposed to daven Shemin Esra quietly? Because Chan, it says only her lips were moving when she was davening. So we know when it says your lips are moving, it's not a regular tefillah, you got to say it softly. That's what Yankov did. He said softly, Baruch Shem Kavod, Machos Eli Olam Vaed. So if we are all Echad, why are we not united? Why do we find so much machlokes in Klal Yisrael? In families, in communities, and in the community that is Klal Yisrael. In almost every community, you have different types of Jews and they don't get along. I don't have to tell you what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's embarrassing. What is the core? Why don't we get along? And I believe there are 3 reasons. One reason is we really don't feel a responsibility for each other. If we felt a true responsibility for another person, you wouldn't talk Lashon Hara about him. You would always judge him favorably. And you'd always do favors if you felt responsible for another person. There are many people that we think are not really significant. If they left, what's a big deal? What do they contribute anyway? They're not so important. So if a person or a woman is not so important, so what do you have to do chesed for? I'll do it for somebody else. And the 3rd reason is, we think that we are the ones that are important. People should do favors for us. Not we for other people. We're the ones that are so special. So I want to tell you a Zayir HaKadosh. A remarkable Zayir HaKadosh. And we will learn something tremendous from this. The Zayir HaKadosh says that the word Yisrael, which is spelled Yud, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. You know what it stands for? Yesh, Shishim, Ribui, Oisiyais, La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That's what Yisrael stands for. Yesh, Shishim, Ribui, Oisiyais, La Torah. So you know what that means? Every one of us. Why 600,000? Because there were 600,000 Jews that left Mitzrayim. Every one of us is a descendant from those 600,000. So just like they had a letter in the Sefer Torah, every one of us here has a letter in the Sefer Torah. Could you imagine? There's a letter in the Torah that's yours. Yei, Shishim, Ribui, Oisiyais, La Torah. 600,000 letters, we're all descendants from those 600,000. I learned 3 lessons from that. One, what if you're davening on Shabbos and 1 letter is missing in the Torah? 1 letter is missing. The whole Torah is puzzle. Why should it be puzzle? You got 500,000 letters in the Torah that are perfect. 1 letter is puzzle? And that's why the whole Torah, you got to take out a new Torah? You know what you learn from that? If there's 1 Jew in Highland Park that's not religious, 1 Jew in Edison, 1 Jew in Passaic, 1 Jew in the Bronx, any place, that's not fulfilling his tafkid of what it means to be a Jew, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. Then we have not fulfilled our obligation of being Jews. Because 1 letter out there is not perfect. And here's another lesson. Isn't it interesting that no 2 letters can touch each other? No 2 letters can overlap. You know what that means? That means that every one of us has an important role to play in life. Every Jew is important. A person shouldn't look around and say, hey, you know, it's such a big crowd, I'm nothing. If I wouldn't be, it's nothing. No, everyone is important. And we have to look at every Jew as so important. Every Jew with their background, with their mindset, can accomplish something that nobody else can accomplish. That's why no 2 letters can touch each other, because everybody's got their own role to play. And then finally, isn't it interesting? that in the English language you have the word a book, a table, a car, I go, I think, I do. But in the Torah, there's not one word that has only one letter. You know what that means? Nobody can do it alone. You all have a letter. We're all a letter. But you can't do it alone. Can't exist alone. In the Torah, that's Klal Yisrael. We each have a role to fill. We cannot overlap. And if one is missing, the whole Torah is puzzle. And then we need somebody else. I want to tell you a story. I'm so embarrassed to tell you this story. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because maybe it'll sink into my head if I tell it often enough. I don't know if my wife is here. I know she's outside for sure, but maybe she's in here tonight as well. She's on my case lately that I'm overweight. Okay, I know. I got to take care of it. I'm trying to do something about it, but okay. So a while ago, I went to my doctor. Okay, now he happens to be 150 pounds overweight, but that's his problem, not mine. Okay. So you know how it is. You get weighed by the nurse. You know, I take out my pens. I left my shoes on. That's really the problem. I should have taken off my shoes. Wouldn't have been so bad. But okay. Took out my pens and my wallet and my brush and everything. You know, try to get it down as low as possible. But I forgot the shoes. She said she compensated. I don't believe her. But okay. Anyway, fine. So she gives the chart to the doctor. Now he's sitting behind his big desk. And I'm over here. He's here. I'm there. And I know he's going to give it to me, because that's all she did, is take my blood and my weight, and she's given him the chart. And he looks at me, and he looks at the chart, and he looks at me, and I know, and I'm trying to think, what is he going to say to have an effect on me? And he said three words. And those three words went into my neshama. I could not get over it. He looked at me straight in the face, and he said, "We need you." That's all he said. I tell you, I get the chills. I lost 7 pounds that week. I gained it back the week after. That week I lost 7 pounds. But imagine, in those words, he made me feel so important. Like, how in the world could you do anything to harm yourself? Klal Yisrael needs you. Now, could you imagine if we were able to convince every person in this room that we need you, and we need you, and we need you, and we need every person. Every person would walk around with such self-esteem. We would be mashiv. We would feel every person is so important. We do them favors. Because Klal Yisrael needs everybody. If we were really convinced that we needed everybody in Klal Yisrael, we'd do anything for anybody. And we do need everybody. That's the whole idea of the Zayah Sefer Torah. We're each a letter. We stand alone, but we have to work together. But if one letter is missing, the whole Torah is puzzle. And you know, there's an amazing thing. You know what the Gemara tells us in Sota Yudalid? Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. Torah begins with Chesed and it ends with Chesed. Where do you see that the Torah begins with Chesed? Because it says, "Vayas Hashem Elokim Lo Adam Lo Ishto Ksoinas Kos Neisar VeYabishem." Hashem made clothes for Adam and Chava and he dressed them. That's the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah, Hashem buried Moshe. So that Torah that we're talking about begins with Chesed and ends with Chesed. And again, let's see Rabbeinu Bachaya. He's such a genius. Rabbeinu Bachaya picks up on this word. It says that he gave clothes to Adam and Chava and he dressed them. What does it have to say he dressed? He gave them clothes. Obviously, they would have gotten dressed. Why does the Torah have to say, no, Vayal Bishem, and he dressed them? Oh, Rabbeinu Bachaya teaches us a great lesson. He says, Lahoyrais, to teach us, Al Havosai, V'chemlosai. Hashem loved them, and he felt compassion for them. Sha'af al pi shechotu, even though they sinned, Loizaz mechavvan, he didn't stop loving them. V'hu ba'atzmoy, hishtadel b'tikunam, okmilas chasodim. That's why Hashem, it says, he dressed them. Hashem could have been angry. I gave you one mitzvah to do. One thing I told you not to do, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So that you couldn't listen to, and you ruined my world plan. My world plan was that there should be people forever without sin in the world. Everybody should be able to live forever. Hashem could have been angry at them. Here's your clothes, get dressed. No. Here, my children, here's clothes. Let me dress you. You know what you learn from that? that if somebody in this neighborhood or in any other neighborhood is not as religious as you are, or is not committed to Torah the way you are, that's not a reason not to do a chesed for them. Oh, you don't only do chesed for those people who come to shul. What about that second cousin who's not religious? Or that co-worker who doesn't know what a gemara or a siddur is all about? The same avas chesed. That's what Chazal are teaching us. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya is teaching us. Just because somebody is not on your level, he's your brother, he's your sister, we're all in this together, you have to reach out and make sure that they do chesed and they feel your compassion. I want to tell you a remarkable thing. Again, you see how great people think. One of the greatest people that we had in our generation, Nebuchadnezzar, passed away and he had Parkinson's the last years of his life. It was such a loss for Klal Yisrael. Was Rabbi Mordechai Gifter, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. Anybody here who has learned in yeshivas in the past years knew his fire of Torah, the fire of his personality. So it happens that his son-in-law, Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer from Muncie, once took Rabbi Gifter to an eye doctor. Now Rabbi Feuer has written many wonderful svarim for Art Scroll, but perhaps his classic work is the one on Tehillim. If you get his work on Tehillim, it is such a fabulous piece of work. Every pasuk has so many mafarshim, has so many insights. It's really beautiful. So of course Rabbi Feuer, who worked on this Tehillim for many years, obviously knows it backwards and forwards. So when he took his father-in-law to a doctor, to the eye doctor, Dr. Sam Cohen in Flatbush, he figured that he'll tell Sam Cohen a very interesting shot about eyes that appears in David HaMelech's Tehillim. So you could look it up in Tehillim Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches. It says like this, Shomreini ke'ishain bas oyin. Shomreini ke'ishain bas oyin. Watch me like the pupil of the eye. David HaMelech is asking Hashem, please, the pupil of the eye is so delicate. So just like people are so careful, that's why your eye blinks so many times so nothing should get into the pupil of the eye. So Hashem, watch me like a person watches the pupil of the eye. So the Radak says a pshat that you could almost say is adorable. The Radak says like this, why is the pupil of the eye called Ishain? So he says, because anytime you have a vav and a nun at the end of a word, it means a little one. For example, yeled is a child. Yaldon is a little child. So ish is a man, ishon is a little man. So you could all take a test. If you want, you could do it now. Take a look into the eye of the person sitting next to you. Take a close look. You'll see a little man or a little woman. Who's that? That's you. That's why when you look into the eye of another person, ishoin, you see a little man. That's why the pupil is called a little man. It's adorable pshat. Whoever thought of that? The ishoin, the pupil of the eye, is called ishoin. Incredible. Fine. Rab Gifter hears this pshat. He says, Oish, I'm a kinzach learner as a gewaldike Musa. We could learn Musa from this. And Dr. Sam Cohen and Rabbi Feuer look at, okay, fine, it's a nice pshat, but what in the world could you learn from it? He says like this. He says, you know, when you talk to somebody, so you think you're the big shot. No, next time you talk to somebody, take a very close look at them. Take a look right in their eye. You'll see they're the big person. You're the little one. So when you talk to somebody, realize you're the small one. They're the big one. So now I got to tell you something that has nothing to do with the speech, but it's so hysterical you wouldn't believe it. And I'll tell you who told it to me, because you know that. I had a bris a number of years ago by a woman who has the worst eyes that you've ever seen. She wears glasses that are thick like whiskey cups. You know, very terrible, terrible eyes. But she's a very, very bright woman. And I've done Britain and her family. She had a little boy. I came to visit the baby the next day. And we were talking. So, you know, I know that she's very sensitive about her eyes and we've spoken about it many times. So I said, you know, I want to tell you a grape shot about the eyes. And I tell her this thing, Ish is a man, Ishon is a little man. And you know, I tell her about, you know, the pupil of the eyes, and that's why it's called Ishon, because you see a little man. She says, oh, I just thought of something. I said, what'd you think of? She's so bright. She says, how do you say pregnancy in Hebrew? Does anybody know how to say pregnancy in Hebrew? Erayon. Har is a mountain. Erayon is a little mountain. I couldn't believe it. It's amazing. One of the ways that we can become people of Avas Chesed is to think beyond ourselves. And I'll show you how Chazal taught us this and we don't even realize it. Did it ever occur to anyone that the entire middle part of Shemini Esrei, when we ask Hashem for everything, we ask for panosa, we ask for healing, we ask for forgiveness, we ask for Jews all over, it's all Lashon Rabbim. It's all plural. Choneinu, give us wisdom. Rifaeinu, heal us. Shmakaleinu, listen to us. Slachlanu, forgive us. Borechaleinu, give us panasa. And all we're thinking is about ourselves? Chazal are teaching you, when you daven, stop being selfish. Think about everybody else. You're not the only one who has to make a good decision today. V'chameinu, give us wisdom. You're the only one that's sick. Rifaeinu, heal us. So Rabbi Wasser mentioned that I've taken these trips to Europe. So this past year, one of the places that we went was to Pressburg, where the Chassam Sofer is buried. And right at his kever, at his gravesite, which is today enclosed in a building, I told over this thing of the Chassam Sofer, you see what's the Pshat Avas Chesed, thinking outside the box. No pun intended that I said it by a gravesite, but the idea is that, listen to this, what the Chassam Sofer did. The Chassam Sofer, when he had his yeshiva, I guess even in those days, there was such a thing as a board of directors. And I don't have to tell you, right? Rabbi Gross can tell us, the board of directors, you know, that's why he's got white hair, or no hair, right? For that reason, the board of directors. But anyway, so the board of directors is always trying to tell the Rosh Yeshiva what to do, or the principal what to do, right? So they told the Chassam Sofer, listen, we're going to give you 450 meals, that's it. That's what we're paying for. He, of course, 3 meals a day, so 3 into 450 is 150. He was only able to have 150 boys in the yeshiva because he had to feed them 3 meals a day. But they were learning tremendous. And the Chassam Sofer wanted more boys in the yeshiva. But how are you going to get more boys in the yeshiva? You got to feed them 3 meals a day. How are you going to feed them? You only have money for 450 meals. Listen to what the Chassam Sofer asked the boys to do, and now we'll see greatness. He called in all the 150 boys. He said, listen, guys, listen to the math. 150 times 3 is 450. I can only serve 450 meals. But if we take in 75 more boys in the yeshiva, how many boys would we have? 225. And if you guys would agree to eat only 2 meals a day, so 225 times 2 equals 450. You could all do a chesed to 75 more boys that we could bring into our yeshiva. And that would be a chesed for you as well, because they would enhance the learning in the Beis Medrash. So 225 times 2 is 450. Could you imagine? And that's what they did. So the boys in Pressburg for a while, till they got a new board of directors. Right? So the boys in Pressburg, they ate 2 meals a day, and 75 more boys were able to come into the yeshiva. That's thinking outside the box. That's thinking beyond yourself. That's what Chazal are trying to teach us in Shemini Esrei. I want to tell you a story. What does it mean, thinking beyond yourself? I know of a family that they were trying to marry off their daughter. Now, the daughter was a wonderful girl, had every mile in the book. And she was going out with guys one after the other. Gonna go often. It wasn't going. And finally, the father started thinking to himself, you know, we've got a decent family, we have a nice reputation. How come it's not going? And then he thought to himself, you know, maybe it's because we're only thinking about ourselves. So the father decided, you know what? He's going to keep a notebook. And for every every single time he makes a call for his daughter, he's going to make a call for another, either single girl or single boy, try to read the Mashiach. Because maybe if you start thinking about other people, then Hashem will start thinking about you. And sure enough, he made that book. Within 3 months, his daughter was engaged. And I know that every word is true because I'm that father, and that's my daughter Fagi. It's true. She, every Mila. And I was, why did it happen? Why is it? And then I started thinking about other people. And I believe that every one of us here tonight, and I brought a gift to every single one of you, and if we don't have enough, I'll send it to all the rabbonim in the shuls, everybody will be able to go home with it. I believe one of the biggest problems that we have today in Klal Yisrael is that there are many, many people who need Shidduchim desperately, and not enough people are getting involved. There are many, many wonderful single women and single men. So why don't we read Shidduchim? We see them all over the place. In Passaic and the West Side, wherever you go, they're all over the place. Even here tonight. So why don't we read Shidduchim? Because we're bad? No, not because we're bad, because we're busy. So what happens? A guy comes up and he says, you know, I got a 31-year-old guy. He's a wonderful guy. He was married just a year, just didn't work out, but maybe he got somebody for him. So you think, 30 seconds. No, I don't have anybody. So I have an idea. And I created something and I had people help me. One of the people who helped me was a woman, a family from West Orange, New Jersey, Mrs. Saffron. We made match cards, shidduch cards. And I want everybody to keep it in a recipe box, except don't call it a recipe box, call it a match box. Okay? And you got blue cards and pink cards. Everybody will be able to walk home with a set tonight. And for every guy that's single, we could have been married, maybe a wife passed away or whatever, a single boy, single man, single woman, divorced or whatever. Write down all the information of the women that you know here. Write down all the information of the men that you know here. Now when somebody calls you, you say, wait a second. When I get home, I'm going to look through my cards. And then maybe, wait a second. Oh, wait, I didn't even think about that. It happened to me just this past Thursday night. Somebody called me, and you know, about a certain girl. I couldn't think of off the spot. I said, call me, you know, in an hour when I get home. Sure enough, I wanted the blue cards. I don't know if they'll go out. Who knows? But I gave over the information. That's Avas Chesed. Take these cards. I want everybody to take these cards and write down the information. And they are free. Three families sponsored them. The Renoffs, the Stollers, and the Saffron family of West Orange, New Jersey. We printed 50,000 cards. Could you imagine if all of us got involved and made a commitment as part of the act that we will act as far as Shidduchim? Do you know how many Shidduchim we could bring? You know how many Gliklacha people we can help? There are many people, especially Balei Tshuva, who do not have a network like some other families. Klal Yisrael has to be their family. Klal Yisrael has to be their network. They're wonderful people. They work very hard to get where they're at, both the men and the women. And this is a way that we can show them that we appreciate what they've done. So everybody tonight, again, come up here. You'll take, we'll give out, we'll brought a whole box of them. And again, if there's not enough, we'll send it out to all the Rabbonim. That's one of the gifts that I brought for all of you tonight. Brought you another gift. I want to show you what it means when a Yid is thinking. And every one of us will think in a moment after I tell you this idea. Why didn't I think of that idea? It's a simple idea. But this Svarish fellow in the Syrian community thought about it, and okay, he doesn't want I should mention his name. Fine, I respect that. So I'll tell you what he thought of. A phenomenal idea. Unbelievable. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kama, Kol hamavakesh rachamim al chaveiroi, v'hu tzorech lo yisei dovar. Anybody who davens for somebody else, and you need that thing, then you're going to be answered first. And I've told this story 100 times, and if I live to be 120, I'll tell it 500 times. I was once at a bris in Merrick, Long Island, and at the end of the bris, I see somebody's crying in the kitchen. A woman is crying. You know, you see a woman is crying. She's not crying from joy. It's obvious. I say to her, why are you crying? She says, I don't want to talk about it. So I said, listen, you know, you never know. You could get some advice, and the mere fact that you talk it out could be helpful. She says, Rabbi, this is the third time that you're in this house. This is the third boy you're doing for my best friend. What does God want from me? Why can't I have any children? And I was thinking, why did I open my big mouth? What in the world am I going to tell this lady why God didn't give her children? So I said to her, I want to tell you something. And I want you to follow this advice, not because it's my advice, because it's the advice of the great rabbis of the Talmud. And I told her, find somebody who has your problem. You don't have to tell me the problem. But go to your doctor and find somebody who's got your problem or your husband's problem, whatever the situation may be. And daven for them. And you'll see, you'll be answered first. And I took her name and I told her to put, I put her name in the Tillim list in the local yeshiva. I told her to give tzedakah and I forgot about the story. A year later, a lady calls me up. She says, Rabbi Krohn, do you remember who I am? I said, listen, thank God I see people every day. I don't know who you are. She says, I'm that lady in Merrick. Remember, I was crying. Of course I remembered. I said, wow, why are you calling me? She says, Rabbi, I want you to know. That day I went to my doctor and I found somebody who has my problem. And every single day since then, I've been praying for that woman. And today I had a boy. And I said to her, I can't believe it. You made my day. And she said to me words that I'll never forget. She said, Rabbi, I may have made your day, but you made my life. And that bris and the bris that I did for her 2 years later were from the greatest person that I ever did. So people ask me, it's not lishmo, it's not sincere. You're really davening for them, but you really mean yourself. So what? The Gemara says, La'olam! La'olam! Always a person should learn Shalai Lishma. Because through Shalai Lishma, you'll come to Lishma. Even if you're insincere, a child begins to learn. Why? Not because he knows what Torah is about. You give him a candle, you learn Shalai Lishma for the wrong reasons. And then you learn for the right reasons. And I guarantee you, you start davening for other people, whatever problem you have. Shiduchim, children, parnosa, health, whatever it is. And then you get helped, you'll see you become a different person. Every Shemoneh Esrei will be different. So what does this genius in the Syrian community think of? He makes up an organization. Kol HaMispalel. Anybody who davens, you know what he does? You call this number. Everybody can get a card here tonight. I brought enough for everybody. You got a problem. They will never, ever, ever ask you your last name. All they'll know, your name and your mother's name. Tell us the problem. You get a problem, they have it on computer, they'll get somebody who has that problem to daven for you, you daven for them. He has told me dozens and dozens of shidduchim have been made through these tefillos, and dozens of children have been born to women who thought they could never have children. It works. Not because it's my advice, it works because Chazal tell us. Because you stop thinking about yourself. Avas Chesed means think beyond yourself. Hashiveinu, slachlonu, v'choneinu. The Chasam Sofer, Mr. Lewinstein, Mr. Israel. These are people who thought beyond themselves. That's why these things work. And again, Rav Chanina ben Tzradion told us he's saved. He, Rav Lezer, was going to be saved, not him. Because Torah is not enough. We need Torah and Chesed. So let me tell you about a great community. There's a great community in Eretz Yisrael called Beit Shemesh. So in Beit Shemesh, somebody showed me recently, they have a newsletter. Many of the communities, even in America, many communities, Yiddish communities, have newsletters. So in that community, they have a newsletter, they have a list of gemachs. 86 gemachs they have in Beit Shemesh. That's a few years ago. You can imagine already today how many. Gemach stands for Gemilas Chesed. That means you have something that's extra or something that you want to start, let's say like a tape library or something like that. You have a whole bunch of tapes and you give out to other people. So I went through the list of Gemachs, of those Gemilas Chesed's in Beit Shemesh. So let me tell you some of my favorite. Of course, one of my favorites is a bris pillow, right? You have a baby boy, you buy a fancy pillow. What are you going to do with the pillow? You're not going to sleep on it every night, right? So you advertise in case anybody else needs a pillow. You know, a bris pillow, they'll lend it out. That's wonderful. Tape libraries, many, many tape libraries in Beit Shemesh. There's one, a mechitza. I don't know, you're making a party, you need a mechitza, they got an extra mechitza around the house. Okay, fine, lend the mechitza. Then there's I love this one, a Shabbos goy. Let's say your kid is stuck up on a tree. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Don't worry, we got a neighbor who's a Shabbos guy. He'll come, you know, he'll get your kid down from the tree. But this is unbelievable. An Arbis Gemach. You know, it's an Arbus Gemach. Let's say your wife has a baby Friday afternoon. You're making a Shalom Zach on Friday night, right? We're going to get Arbus Friday night, right? It's an hour before Shabbos. All the stores are closed. Don't worry. We got vats and vats of Arbus. Our kids will deliver it. And here's another one. You couldn't believe. Mouse traps. Right? Mouse traps. You got an extra mouse in the house? Don't worry. We got a lot of traps. And then I saw the same people who have the Arbus Gemach are the ones with the mouse trap Gemach. Of course. Why? Because what do you think the mice are eating all that Arbus? But check it out. I'm telling you. It's the same address. So we have to look within ourselves. Many of us have children that are bright. Baruch Hashem. So if your child is bright, maybe he could tutor somebody down the block or somebody in the school. Whether he gets paid or he doesn't get paid, but chesed. So if your child is a genius in math or he knows his mishnayos, encourage him once or twice a week. Let him go out and learn with a kid in the class that's not doing so well, that doesn't have a parent that has the time to spend with them. I don't know if you have here Tom Chashabbos, but we know many communities have Tom Chashabbos. So you need people to pack the packages. Who's packing the packages Thursday night? Let your children go out there to pack the packages. As they get older, they'll be able to deliver those Tom Chashabbos packages. And what about Hatzolah? A fellow who has the time and has the wherewithal? It's a great thing. I don't have to tell you, thousands and thousands of people have been saved. First of all, their lives have been saved, many of them, and anguish, and they've gotten the medical care. We all know stories like that. I know my mother who passed away this past Sukkot. I'm still within the year. A year and a half ago, I was out of town one night, and she called my wife, 4 o'clock in the morning. She said she couldn't breathe. She was having trouble breathing. My wife, before she even got out of the house, called Hatzolah. My mother lived 2 blocks away from us. Before my wife was able to get into her car and by my mother, Hatzolah was there already. And literally, they saved her life. She lived a year and a half later. Another year and a half. Without Hatzolah, who knows? So if you have the opportunity, Hatzolah is tremendous chesed. Okay, not everybody can do that. But those of us who can, it's a tremendous way of doing chesed. And the beautiful materials that you have from ACT, one of the things that I was going to touch on, it was incredible to me that was in there, because this certainly is a big chesed. And that is the capacity to say, I was wrong. Many people, when you say, I have a good friend who's a marriage counselor. That's not the reason he's my friend, but he's a marriage counselor. He's a good friend. And he once taught me something. He said the 3 most important words in marriage. You know what the 3 most important words in marriage are? Not those 3 that you think. I was wrong. There are a lot of people who can't say that. But if you can say that, that all of a sudden opens up a different type of communication, a different type of relationship. So I want to tell you a story that happened in a pizza shop that you and I once met at many years ago in Plainview. That's right. So that one closed, then it opened recently. It closed for a while, and they opened recently. So in that pizza shop, a Chol of Yisrael pizza shop, so of course, many, many frum guys and women, they come into that shop, during lunchtime. So this happened a while ago. A guy comes in with a trimmed beard, and he's about to order a pizza, and he sees a fellow behind the counter, a guy who he thinks he recognizes, not a Jewish fellow, his name is Paul. He says to the lady behind the counter, excuse me, is that Paul? He says, yeah, what do you want with Paul? He says, I have to see him. You can't see him now. See his place? It's so busy. It's lunchtime. And he raises his voice. He says, no, I have to see him right now. I have to talk to him right now. This lady behind the counter, she realizes this guy means business. And all of a sudden, everybody gets quiet. So she calls over Paul. This fellow wants to talk to you. And this guy with the trim beard says to Paul, Paul, do you recognize me? Paul says, I'm sorry. I don't think I ever saw you. He says, Paul, take a look at me. You don't recognize me? He says, no, who are you? He says, Paul, why did you tell everybody why you were fired? And he mentions a certain pizza shop. Let's call it Shimon's. It wasn't. But tell everybody why you were fired from that Shimon's pizza shop. Now Paul gets upset. And he says, I'll tell you why. Because those Jews didn't trust me. They said I stole $300. I didn't steal a penny. I'm a family man. I needed that job and they fired me for no reason. So this guy says, Paul, take a look at me. You don't recognize me. Because when I was working with you in that pizza shop, I had hair down to my shoulders. Paul, I'm the guy that took the money. I'm a Baal Teshuva. You don't know what a Baal Teshuva means. A Baal Teshuva means somebody who's sorry, somebody who's repentant, somebody who came back to do authentic Judaism. I've been looking for you for 3 years, trying to say that I'm sorry to you. And he takes out $300 and he gives it to this Paul. And Paul says, you don't owe it to me. You didn't take the money from me. You took it from the store. He said, I paid them back. But I know you lost a job because of me. And I'm sorry. And I came to tell it to you. I've been looking for you. And everybody realized that's what a real Baal Teshuva is all about. When a person is able to say, I made a mistake. I was wrong. So I want to tell you a story about a close friend of mine. His name is Harry Ashkenazi. Harry Ashkenazi is one of those wonderful Syrian Jews who lives in Flatbush. And he told me that a number of years ago, he was going to a chasana in the Syrian community. And you know how, you know, the long line of people line up, you know, the cars line up in front of, you know, the shul or wherever it's taken. And the Russians are taking the car, you know, valet parking. You know, so, you know, inches up. And then as he was, you know, getting near the hall, there was a lady in front of him. She wasn't moving up. And, you know, he's waiting, like, come on, you know, like, why don't you move? She's busy talking to her husband or whatever, but she's the one in the driver's seat. You know, he got very upset. He was waiting, like, 30 seconds. And she didn't move. So he decides, you know what, he's not going to blow the horn. He goes, and he goes in front of her, and he takes that spot. And wouldn't you know it, that was the last spot that valet parking had that night. Oh, when this lady finally parked her car and she found Harry in the wedding hall, she had a few choice words for him. Okay, this was in February. Months later, in October, Harry is a big tzaddik and wonderful guy. And he's thinking before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is there anybody that I have to ask for forgiveness? Anybody that I have to get mechila from? Like, did I do anything wrong to anybody? Then he remembers, oh, that lady. That lady by the wedding hall. Now, he didn't really know her. He knew that she was religious, but, you know, not like on his level. So, but he knew her name, so he looked up, you know, every community has its Jewish telephone book. He called her up. He said, excuse me, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, a few months ago, February, I took your spot, and I just want to say I'm sorry. Please forgive me. She says to him, you remember what happened a few months ago? It's still on your mind? I can't get over that. He said, no, I shouldn't have done it. Please, you know, tell me that you forgive me. I'm very sorry. She said, oh, I forgot about it a long time ago. Like, of course I forgive you. It's no problem. 3 years later, Harry's daughter was read a shidduch to this lady's son. And this lady said, such a family that is so sensitive that a month later he's willing to call and ask for forgiveness, that's the daughter-in-law that I would want. And sure enough, they got married, and today, Harry and this lady, they share the same grandchildren. It's incredible. It's incredible. Because a person was able to say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. That's all part of chesed. I want to tell you one more thing, and then we'll end with a great thought and a great story. You know, we can be so proud that we've come here tonight to improve ourselves through chesed. Because chesed is the essence of what a Jew is all about. And I want to show you how even the nations of the world understand that that's really what we're all about. Of course, we come here to improve ourselves and to make ourselves perfect. But I know you're not going to believe this. I want to give it to you exactly. In the Wall Street Journal, November 21, 2005. They have an advertising, business advertising section. And they talk about all kinds of advertising. So the Wall Street Journal spoke about certain companies that are now starting to advertise, but they focus in on a special group and try to hit a target group. So they tell about the Procter & Gamble company. The Procter & Gamble company, they had a detergent, a laundry detergent, Biomat it's called. And they focused, they wanted to advertise to religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a very big problem with the religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have TVs and they don't read newspapers. So how are you going to advertise? Right? How are you going to advertise the Jewish people? They're religious Jews, 15% of the population. And as they write, it was a very tough assignment. Many Orthodox Jews don't hold traditional media life like TV sets. How are they going to do it? Listen to the Einfall. Listen to the Einfall of Procter & Gamble. They took huge trucks. And they had huge washing machines on these flatbed trucks. And they went around the Jewish areas. And they said, give us your dirty laundry. Give us your old clothes. We will wash it and donate it to the poor. And their product was sold by 50% up. They got more of the market. 50% of the market. Because they understood that's what Jews are all about. What are you going to do with old clothes? Give it to these people. They're going to wash it on these flatbed trucks. They have these huge washing machines. They know Jews are giving people. And of course, their product sold 50% more. It's incredible. Because they understood that that's what Jews are all about. So when I read this, I said to one of my friends, could you imagine even the Goyim and Procter & Gamble, they understood what we're all about. He says, don't be ridiculous. There's some Yidl working in Procter & Gamble. He's the guy who figured it out. Okay, but at least, you know, they went along with it. One more thing, and then we'll end with a tremendous story. Who was the greatest giver of all? Who was the one who did that act of chesed that is beyond anything that anybody ever did before or after? In my humble opinion, it's Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu realized that she was the one that was supposed to marry Yaakov Avinu. All the shiftei kol, all the shvatim were supposed to come to her. But she just could not see that her sister should be embarrassed. And so she gave over the simonim to her sister Leah. So now let me read you a medrash. What a beautiful medrash. I remember when we used to go to camp, and we went to Camp Aguda as a child. Rav Yaakov Teitelbaum used to learn this medrash for us every single year. And when I got married and I had children, I used to try to learn this medrash. I could never get through it because I was crying by the time we got through this medrash. How Hashem, and this is in Psichta de Eicha Rabbah, in the Medrash Rabbah of Eicha, there's an introduction. This is in Perich of Dalet. And it tells us how Hashem himself was crying by the Churban Bayis. And Hashem said, Oili albesi, bonai heichan atem, kahanai heichan atem. Where are my children? Where are my koyanim? Look, I have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem himself felt terrible. He says, I warned all of you. I begged all of you to do tshuva, and you didn't do tshuva. And then finally it says that Avraham Avinu came to beg. And Avraham said, Hashem, please, in my schus, I was willing to sacrifice my son on the Akedah. Isn't that enough to save the Jews? And Hashem said, no, it's not enough. And then Hashem said, then Yitzchak came. Yitzchak said, what about me? The Akedah, I was willing to give up myself for you. I was going to give up my life by the Akedah. Hashem said, it's not enough. And Yaakov said, I had such a difficult life. Tzar Gidl Bonim, love on Esav, so many problems. Don't I have enough schusim to save them? Hashem said, no. Moshe, I was the leader for Klal Yisrael for all those years. I gave my life for them. I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael because I did something for their sake. I hit the rock because I wanted to do it for them. Hashem said, no, it's not enough. Then it says like this. Miyad nisgalgul rachmav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Rachel came. And Rachel said, Hashem, please, how could you be jealous that the Jews served idols? I wasn't jealous. I was willing to give up everything. I thought I was going to end up marrying Esav. Never occurred to anybody that Yaakov would have two wives. I was going to give up everything. I wasn't jealous. I gave it all to Leah. How could you be jealous? And then Hashem says, Miyad nisgalgalu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash tells us that the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakened. And he said, B'shvileich Rachel, because of you, ani machzir es Yisrael im koyman. I'm going to return Klal Yisrael because of your chesed, because of what you did. And that's what it says in Yirmiyah. Kol Yamar Hashem, Kol Barom Nishma. I hear a voice on high. Nehi Bechi Tamrurim. A bitter, a gevein, a terrible cry. Rachel Mavaka Rabaneha. Rachel is crying on her children. May Anali Nochem, she can't be consoled. Abaneha Kiyaneno. Because her own children are no longer in Eretz Yisrael. Omar Hashem, Hashem says, Mini Kolech Mibechi. Refrain, hold back your voice from crying. Ve'enayich min dim on your eyes from tears. Ki yeshocha lupulaseich. Because there's reward for what you did. That act of chesed, giving like nobody else has ever given before, to give up everything for the sake of your sister. Oh, v'shavu me'eretz oyev. Eventually, because of you, Rachel, Klal Yisrael is going to come back from the lands of the enemies. V'yesh tikva le'achriseich. No mashem v'shavu bonim le'gvulam. That's what chesed can accomplish. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Mayase odam v'yenotzel mechevle Mashiach. What should a person do to be saved from the chevle of Mashiach, from the pangs of Mashiach? And the answer is, Yasek b'teira v'gmilas chasodim. You got to do both. So let's make a commitment tonight, on this great night together, on this great night of Yachad, where so many people from so many communities have come together. Let's remember that story, that first story with Rabbi Zlotowitz and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Giving mechila, saying that you're moichel, is a tremendous chesed if you can do that. Sometimes it's very hard to do that. But if a person can be moichel, then that person does not die with that terrible, terrible sin that they committed. Rabbi Hanina ben Tragian said to Rabbi Lezer, it's not only Torah, but it's chesed as well. Let's remember that beautiful story, how Mr. Israel gave me the money that he got from Lewinstein and how it was passed on from family to family. The Maral Toros Echod, Aleph is Yankov, Chesed, the 8 children from his wife, Dalet are the 4 children from the maidservants. We're all like one, so we have to be concerned for each other. That's why we say Baruch Shem quietly. Yankov himself said Baruch Shem quietly. The Zoya taught us we're all one big Sefer Torah. 600,000. We're all descendants of those 600,000. We all have a letter that's ours. If one letter is missing, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. One Jew is not fulfilling his tafkid. Kirov is also chesed. No Jew can do it alone. We need each other. And we don't overlap. Everyone, just like that doctor told me, we need you. We need every single person in Klal Yisrael. Let's remember the Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. And the Torah tells us that Hashem dressed Adam and Chava. You know why? Hashem tells us that because even somebody that has sinned and somebody is not as religious as you are, they still deserve your chesed. Let's remember Ishain. When you speak to somebody, look at them closely in the eye. You're the small person, they're the big person. Let's remember what Chazal are teaching us in Shemor Nesrei. Ashiveinu, Choneinu, Slachlonu, Refoeinu. It's all Lashon Rabim. We're thinking about others, not only about ourselves. Let's remember the Chassam Sefer, how those boys were willing to eat 2 meals a day instead of 3, so that other boys should be able to come into the Beis Medrash. Let's take these Shidduch cards and part of the Chesed to talk Shidduchim, Ret Shidduchim to so many people who need it so desperately. Let's daven for other people. It's also Chesed to daven, take these cards, no matter what's going on in your life, and we all have challenges and we all have issues. Daven for somebody else who has that and you'll be answered first. Let's remember the gemachs, whatever you have in your home. Think of something that you could give to other people that they could use. And if you can't do it, you do it together with other people. And if your children can tutor or pack Temche Shabbos, or you can belong to Hatzalah, Matoyev Manoim. Let's remember, I was wrong. Look at that beautiful Kiddush Hashem that fellow made in that pizza shop. Let's remember how Harry Ashkenazi got that wonderful shidduch. And let's remember, even the Goyesha company, Procter & Gamble, will understand that we are people of chesed. The Torah begins with chesed and it ends with chesed. And finally, that we're going to be zeichet to the geula because of Rachel Imenu, because of that great act of chesed. I just want to end with this great story. In 1940, there was a man, his name was Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor. He lived in Hungary and he had a wife and 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And in Hungary in the beginning of the 1940s, Rachmana Litzlan, the Nazis came and took the Jews there. That was the last place where they went. And they took Jews and they put them in different ghettos and concentration camps. And eventually, Rachmana Litzlan, Mrs. Avigdor, Rebbetzin Avigdor was killed. And eventually, the boys and the girls were separated. The father went to one place, and the boys and the girls to another place. And the father, when he realized that he could not be with his two sons, and he tried desperately to cross the lines, and they hit him and beat him until he was separated from his children. He said to the older boy, Yitzchak, make sure that you always take care of your younger brother, Avram. And the two brothers were put into the Mattenhausen concentration camp. And they became totally emaciated, but somehow they were able to survive. So now it's the end of the war. And they were able to sneak out from one of the DP camps where they were. They came to Milan, because their plan was to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they were on a list, hopefully, that they would be able to be transferred from Milan to go to Eretz Yisrael. One afternoon, they're sitting in the barracks, and they recognize the older boy Yitzchak, who's now 24, 25 years old. He recognizes a woman, Pesha, he recognizes her from Debrecen. She was the Chazan's daughter. And she's running around the camp. She had just come into that camp. He says, what are you doing here? She says, I'm looking for my husband. We were separated years ago. And I'm going from one DP camp to the other, trying to find him. And Yitzchak felt so bad, because he knew that her husband had been killed. He saw how her husband was put on the line and how he was shot. How's he going to tell it to this woman? She's been looking all over. And he starts crying and he says to her, I feel so bad to tell you this, but I know that your husband was killed and he died. And she's screaming. Of course she believed him. You know, she's crying and she says, my life is over. And she's crying uncontrollably. She was there overnight in the camp. They put her up someplace. And the next morning she was about to leave, again crying hysterically. And Yitzchak Avigdor says to her, I want to give you a piece of paper. I want you to take this paper with you, because one day you're going to want to get married and nobody's going to believe, because I know that there are people that have to paskin that you should be able to get married, otherwise you'll be an aguna because nobody will believe that your husband died. She says, I'll never get married. I don't want to hear from you. Don't be ridiculous. He says, please take this paper. And she wouldn't take it. And he writes down, I, Yitzchak Avigdor, saw this person pass away, was killed. He writes it on a piece of paper and he stuffs it into her purse. And she leaves. And she's going from place to place, a woman without a country, without a home, without a family. And months later, she finds herself in Bergen-Belsen. And in Bergen-Belsen, they were many, many women like her, and many women realized that they have to get a heter. They have to have a proof that their husbands are no longer here so that they should be able to get remarried. And there were rabbonim that were sitting in an office building. There was a long line of women that were coming there trying to get a heter, trying to get permission so they should be able to be free and be able to remarry. She waited for hours on that line. And finally, she gets to the front. And she goes to the front and the Rav is sitting there and she's exhausted and angry and impatient. And she says, I found out that my husband was killed and I want you as the rabbi to write down that I could get married. He says to her, I'm so sorry, but you have any proof? She said, what do you mean proof? I'm telling you, I saw somebody who told me. He says, yeah, but who is that? And what proof do you have? So she takes out this crumpled piece of paper and she slams it down and she throws it down on the desk. And then Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor, who was the Rav, looks at that piece of paper and he says, you saw this man? She said, yeah, of course, I saw him in Italy, in Milan. He says, what are you talking about? That's my son. I didn't know that he's still alive. She said, I'm Pesha, I'm the daughter of that Chazan. You remember me? He says, you saw my son, I can't believe it. And after he finished with her, he made a call to somebody named by the name of Yaakov Griffel, who was in charge of the general council, who was in charge of all these people in the different camps. He said, I just found out that my son is in Milan, is that true? Could you look it up? And he calls him a day later, he says, it is true. He says, you gotta make an arrangement, I want to meet him. I want to see my children, I didn't know that they were alive. And they make an arrangement that somehow they're going to meet at a train station in Milan. And Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor travels to Milan in that train station. And he's running around yelling, Yitzhak Avram, where are you? He can't find them. And the truth is that they had seen each other, except they were all so emaciated they didn't recognize each other. And finally he yells again, Yitzhak Avigdor, where are you? And finally his son comes running over to his father and he embraces him. And the two sons fall into the arms of the father and they're reunited forever. How did that father and son get together? Because of that great act of chesed. Is that what Yitzchak Avigdor had to do? He wanted to do a chesed for this lady. He never thought in a million years that that act of chesed is going to reunite him with his father. We're all in Golas. In a terrible, terrible Golas. And there's so many of you that I know personally in this room who are suffering and who have suffered and have family members that have suffered and are still suffering. We want to get out of this Golas. We want to be reunited with our Father in Heaven. There's one way, chesed. Just like the Avigdors were reunited with their father with chesed, if we could undertake tonight that every day we're going to do a chesed for another person. Have a notebook. Write down every day a chesed that you did for somebody else. Not only in your house, for your husband and wife, that you have to do if you know what's good for you. I'm talking outside the house. Make a call. Give a visit. Lend some money. Read a shidduch. You write down a chesed that you did for everybody else. Hashem tzilcha. God is your shadow. You do chesed. Hashem will do chesed. Let us make a commitment on this great night together that we'll all become people of Avas Chesed. That Hashem should see that we are a united group. The Medrash tells us, Ein Yisrael Negol and Achayil Be'aguda Achas. Klal Yisrael won't be redeemed until we are one. Let us taka be Hinei Matoiv Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad. That the Yachad himself, Hashem, should come and redeem us and take us to Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach. May it happen in our time. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for listening.